Over 200 people signed up for either the Weekender or the Serve 1 to 10 one weekend coming up at the end of January. So that is an awesome number. It's a great start, okay? I want to see that double by the end of January. January 30th is the Serve 1 to 10 one, and the Weekender is that same weekend. You guys can sign up for that stuff online. Man, these type of stories are happening all over the place, man. It's mentorship, it's relationship, and it's creating an inviting, awesome environment for others that are coming in, because it's always at Mercy Hill. We've got to get this in our mind, y'all. Every weekend is somebody's first weekend at Mercy Hill. It's always somebody's first time, okay? It's always somebody's first time, like when it was Lydia's first time. Lydia came to Mercy Hill. She had been great, you know, raised in church, but it kind of fallen away from that. Didn't feel super, super welcome anymore, you know, carrying some of what comes with shame and guilt from falling away and all that stuff. But she ends up coming to Mercy Hill. She checks it out one time, and you know what? It was an awesome environment, man. There was clear signage. There was people that were waiting for her. We seemed prepared. There were words on the screen. Awesome people like Tony and Derek playing music. She cried through the entire service as she was beginning the process of reconnecting in her journey with the Lord, right? She begins to serve. She begins to jump in week after week. She meets a guy at work named David. David asks her to go on a date. She says no. Okay, poor David, right? But then she asks David if he wants to come to church, and he says yes. Okay, so he ends up coming. He ends up starting to plug in. He ends up getting into the discipleship pathways here, the gather groups, give go. Y'all, David got baptized this year, and now they're getting married. Okay, so it all goes back to Serve 1 to 10 1. Okay, so it all goes back to that. Hey, but seriously, there was people here that were making that atmosphere for them. This is not the only thing that Christians do, okay? Man, we are always the church. We serve in our giftings in 1,000 different ways. But at Mercy Hill, we say it like this. Man, faithful attendance includes serving. When we load up to come to church, we're coming for two services, not one, because two services is two times the spiritual impact. Yes, for your relationships with others, but all in your community, but also for the atmosphere that it creates for others. So you guys can jump online. You can still sign up for the Weekender. It's probably shaping up literally to be the largest Weekender we've ever had in the history of the church. And so I hope that you want to jump into that. And then also that Serve 1 to 10 1. Man, get back in. Jump back into a serve team. Here we go. The book of Joshua. I have been looking forward to this for months and months, and I want to dive into it. Joshua chapter 1 is where we are going to be today. All right. Now, as we open up, this is kind of typical of what we do, but today it's a little bit easier. A lot of times I'll introduce an entire series and then I'll introduce the sermon. I don't have to do that today, because really the first sermon is kind of the introduction to the whole book of Joshua. All right, so if you get this big idea, you're going to understand sort of where the book is taking us. If we can get this one right, I think the rest of them are going to sort of fall in place. Here's the big idea for the sermon this weekend. God's presence crushes fear and creates courage. It has the power to do that. Man, we just sang about how our hope is anchored. That's what the push this weekend, okay? Man, whether you're watching this service online, whether you're at one of our campuses, man, the push this weekend is to anchor our hope in the presence and reality of the God who created us, the God who is all powerful, the God who has a perfect plan for our life. This is not a prosperity message that tries to say our lives are easy and that nothing will ever go wrong. We have a greater truth than that. The greater truth is that in the midst of a scary world, in the midst of the hardships of life, we have a God who can be for us a fear crusher and a courage builder. And that's the God that I want to point you guys to in Joshua today. It's very important. Guys, we live in a world with a lot of therapeutic type solutions when it comes to fear and anxiety and worry, okay? Now, these are real things. Man, I don't have time to kind of dissect all of them. If you've been around Mercy Hill, I've dealt with some of this stuff in great ways in my life. But what we got to get to the root of today is that we are not trying to find strategies to cope with fear. We are asking God to crush it. We are asking God to grind it into the ground and allow courage and hope to spring up in its place. A lot of people are trying the three steps to learn how to live with fear. There was a popular movie, I'm not going to reference it. There was a popular movie that came out when I was in college, okay, and it was about a race car driver that was afraid to race his car because he got in a crash and his crazy loser dad had an idea, okay? And the idea was, I'm going to capture a cougar from the wild and keep it in my hotel room and feed it old cold pizza. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the cougar in the car and make my son drive in the car with the cougar. And he tells his son, you got to face the fear. You got to become friends with the fear. Bad strategy, okay? There's a lot of strategies like that right now that are sort of this idea of learning how to cope and learning how to kind of make friends with fear. We don't want to make friends with fear. The Bible calls us not to be afraid. That's what the Bible tells us to do. And we are going to need that crushing power that God has. Because listen, the church is not called to just survive in a scary world. We are called to advance the mission in a scary world. We are not called to stand our ground. We're called to take ground. And so if we live in a scary world, which we do, man, if things happen that are hard and can strike fear in the heart in a second, which they will, y'all, we need the strategy that I think is timeless and the Lord pushes us to, and that is to remember that He is with us. That's it. If you're a believer, if I can convince you of one thing today from the book of Joshua, it is that God is with you. And to the extent that we can remember that and live in that presence, then it will help us in our fight when it comes to fear. Look what it says in Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. It's a wonderful passage and promise to Joshua. Now, let me try to kind of just ease us in a little bit here. I don't have time to go back and recount all of this story. Man, if you're a part of Mercy Hill, I would encourage you to go back and to read some of the backstory on these things. Be reading in the book of Exodus. Be reading in the book of Deuteronomy, okay? But just quickly here, the people of God had been promised from way back, okay? I mean, all the way back to the founding fathers of this whole movement, all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they have been called and God had given them a promise. And that promise was, you will possess the land of Canaan. It is a promised land for you. God was not content ever since the Garden of Eden. He was not content to have his people not in a place. The kingdom of God is a people in a place with God reigning over them as king. It is what God wanted for his people Israel, and that's what he called them to. Now, they faltered in their faith, and you can go back and read about this. Actually, the main player in this story, Joshua, is part of the spy team that went out and looked at the land, and Joshua came back, and it was a great failure in Joshua's life. He was not able to convince everyone else. His faith stood strong, but he was not able to convince everyone else to cross over and to possess the land and to walk in God's promises for them. But what we see is their faith faltered, but God is bringing them back, and that's where we land in Joshua chapter 1. Now, Joshua is about to assume leadership, and we're going to talk about that. I've got some practical things along the way before we get into this big stuff with courage and fear and all that. We're going to hit some practical things. Joshua is about to take on a mantle of leadership, but listen, this is important, okay? What does God do before he passes the mantle of leadership to Joshua? He reminds Joshua probably of what Joshua and the people's greatest fear was, and he reminds them that that fear has just been realized, and that fear is that Moses is gone. I mean, Moses was the one that listened to God. Moses was the one that mediated and told the people what God was saying. Moses was the one that did the miracles. Moses was the one that brought the forefathers and the earlier generation out of the land of Egypt. And now Moses is dead and our greatest fear is realized. And I think there is an important point in that for us today, one that I've applied very deeply, even this week in the midst of life and kids and just everything that's going on. Guys, sometimes our greatest moments of fear are our greatest opportunities for faith. Sometimes God brings us to this place. Sometimes he takes stuff away from us. And it teaches us, man, that our faith was never supposed to be in that thing. It was in the God who stands behind and uses that thing. Sometimes God shows us this very personally. Amen. Our faith isn't to be in doctors or in a company or in a preacher. Our faith is in the God who stands behind these things and maybe uses them in our life. Well, that's very evident when that thing is gone and now you're looking to God to do something new. And that's exactly what he does. Moses is gone, and we saw in the first couple of verses here that Joshua is put in place. Now that's interesting, isn't it, too? I mean, when you're at your moment of fear, God, what are you doing? All of a sudden, here's the answer. His name is Joshua or Yeshua or Jesus, as we will see it translated in the New Testament. God's salvation is with us. God's salvation, that's kind of the most basic way to translate this name. And so we have Joshua. Now, who is Joshua, all right? We could go back again and do a lot of history here, but just a few things that I want to say about Joshua. Joshua, as the scripture says, was Moses' servant. Man, he was a warrior. Man, he was a commander in battle. Man, Joshua was there when he watched Moses administrate and listen to God. Joshua was a guy who was under authority for most of the time that we see him, especially up until this moment. And Joshua was one who was learning and was being prepared. God was preparing him for the moment that he would walk in. And one of the things that I want to say practically here today is this, all right? Because listen, Mercy Hill, man, we attract a lot of leaders. I know what you do in the community. I see what you do in your workplaces. I see what you do in local high schools and that kind of thing. That's just who comes to Mercy Hill a lot of times, okay? And if that's you and that's where you are, there's very practical leadership stuff that we need in this book, and I want to pull one of those things out right now, and that is this. Can you imagine being Joshua in this moment? Can you imagine the weight? You couldn't convince 10 spies to go over, and now you got to convince millions of people that God is with you and to go over. Man, the weight is just resting on his shoulders and the magnitude of it and the wars that are going to come and everything that is about to happen. Can you imagine the weight? Here's what I think about Joshua if I put myself in his shoes. How grateful is this man for the years of preparation that God allowed him to assist Moses and be shaped by smaller battles in his life for this moment? And this is why I bring it up. Guys, there may be something out there that God has for you, a Joshua-type leadership moment that actually don't come in 2022. It comes in 2032, but what you do in 2022 is going to prepare you for that moment. And we have the opportunity to lean in to that moment. But many of us are always trying to skip by that moment. I've done it too. Man, we're trying to rush through that preparatory moment so that we can get to the position that God has for us, and maybe we need to just sit in that. Maybe we need to be shaped. You know, I think about this in my life. Y'all, when I was 22 years old, man, I had just graduated college. I wanted to be a senior pastor, lead pastor of a church so bad it kept me up at night. I wanted to preach. Man, I wanted to lead. I wanted to counsel people. I wanted to shape younger guys into eldership and all of that. And I was 22 years old, and it would have been an unmitigated disaster. I promise you that. Okay, it would have been an absolute train wreck at 22 years old. What I needed was another 6 or 7 years of somebody knocking me upside the head and mentorship and discipleship and chipping away and chipping away. I needed all of that to even have a chance, you know, to plant a church and to see it grow and to do all those things that God had put in my heart to do. If I would have had to jump through the preparation just to get to the position, man, we were talking unmitigated disaster. How many of us right now, let me say, hey, a few different groups. Man, the teenagers in our church right now, all right? Hey, some of you guys might be on a ball team and you're thinking, man, I just want to start. What are you learning right now by being on the bench? What are you learning right now about relationships that God might not use for the next 10, 20 years of your life, but it's a bank? And he's doing something in it. Man, I think about our young professionals here today. You're in an entry-level job, and man, you don't want to be in that entry-level job. What are you learning right now for the business that God might have you lead one day? You know, I think about how many people that we have in our church that maybe God is raising up for the mission. It's like, man, I'm in a group. I want to lead a group. Well, let's sit in that group for a little while. Let's sit in there and see what God has for us, because the day's coming when there's that Joshua moment that he might have for you to lead. I think about how many of us might be experiencing loss or something really hard. Man, I've noticed at this church, I've just seen it even over the last week of my life, how people have responded to loss. And it's unbelievable when the light shines in that moment and mature Christians act like mature Christians in those moments. But you know what? That don't come unless you have had years. That don't come maybe even unless you have seen others walk through that. What are you walking through right now that is going to prepare you for something else you got to walk through later, or prepare you for something that somebody else has to walk through later. Man, I know this. I know that when Anna and I walked through miscarriage multiple times when we were younger and just getting married and just trying to start a family, one of the hardest things we've ever walked through in our life, and how many people from this church have we personally been able to counsel and pour into? Man, God wastes none of our suffering. He wastes none of it. There are things that he's doing. We live in a broken, a fallen world, but he wastes none of our suffering. He's weaving together a beautiful story. Some of us have got to lean into the process. I think about Joshua, right? Joshua leaned in the process before he was given a position, and it mattered. God says to him in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to what is written, according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, guys, we're going to come to the larger point about courage and fear and God's presence in just a minute. But I think it is very interesting, and I know that you probably maybe thought this as well. How interesting is it that in the charge to take the land, in the charge to cross the Jordan and to walk in the promise, God takes 4 or 5 verses here to remind Joshua, hey, think about the word of God. Now, why is it so important that he thinks about the word of God? It is in the word of God that he will get to know the God that has promised never to forsake him. You've got to know this God if that's going to matter, right? You could say it like this. God's word is essential for our spiritual success. Now, this is one of those things where we've got to do some Bible interpretation here and just understand some things about the Bible, all right? One of them is this. You can't just go cherry pick a promise to Joshua and plop it down in your life and make it about a promotion in your job, right? That's really dangerous. A lot of preachers make a lot of money doing that kind of stuff, okay? And we're not going to go that route. We're going to try to see it for what it is. Here's what we've got to remember. The nation of Israel was a nation. Now, God's love was never conditional to them. Man, his choosing of them was never conditional to them. There were tons of promises that were made to them that were absolutely conditional on them following the law, following the word of God, okay? Now, you know, for us, we look back on that and we say, well, what does that mean for us? Well, for them, it meant this. Hey, if you don't follow the word of the Lord, if you don't follow the law, if you don't get to know me, my precepts, and walk in those, then you're not going to have success in this land. And you see that. Guys, they lost battles just in a few chapters because of this kind of stuff. And eventually, man, because of their idolatry, because of the way they ended up treating the poor, because they neglected the Sabbath, because they eventually, hundreds of years later, got away from the word of God, man, they ended up actually getting removed from the land that Joshua is walking in promise to be able to take. Okay? Those were conditional promises for Israel. What are we supposed to do with that, though? Like, are the promises conditional for me or what? Well, here's where we stand in salvation history, okay? Where we stand in salvation history is that the word of God is maybe even more important to us than it was for them. Maybe. Do you know why? Because in the word, we get to see the greater and truer Joshua who was able to keep all the promises that they failed in. And when he kept all those promises that they failed in, all of a sudden the path was open for us through our faith to have all of those promises that were for them suddenly come to us, but in greater ways, okay? When Jesus, the greater Joshua, comes, and when he finally conquers the land, we talked about this in Revelation, when you and I are with him in that great multitude, when we, the church, are crossing over and have the chance to be in the new heavens and the new earth, it will not just be a land that could be taken because there's something conditional attached to it. It will be a heaven that Jesus Christ, the greater Joshua, has secured for us forever. This is why 1 Corinthians 1:20 says this, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him." All of these promises find their yes in Jesus Christ. This is why we give God all of the glory, all right? So look, okay, practically, man, is it true that if you follow the word that you're, you know, prosperous and your life will go better and all that? In general, I would say, you know what? Actually, I think it is. I think that's what wisdom literature is. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. Not a promise, but I do think in general, when you learn that when you learn that our possessions are to be stewarded rather than we're the owners of them, your life goes better. When you realize like God has a plan, a design for sexuality rather than it's just a free-for-all for whatever humans decide in the generation they live in, life goes better. okay? When we have the image of God as one of those things that is like, man, this is non-negotiable. It is something that is at the forefront of our mind, every single human life, then life goes better. There are things that, yes, our life will be more prosperous, but the actual beauty here and the great news here is that in this Bible, in the Word, you know, when he's talking about the law, they're looking back. I'm applying that to all the Bible now, the whole scripture that we have now. What we have now in the scripture, if we follow it, does our life go better? Yeah, in general, okay, but it's more weighty than that. It's more beautiful than that. We get to know the God who has secured a future for us. And if you read the Psalms, you get to know him through his mighty deeds. You get to see what he's done in the past. You get to see what he's capable of. You get to see his great love for you that sent Jesus to the cross that we could put our faith in him. You know, the problem I think with a lot of prosperity preaching is not that it promises too much, it's that it promises way too little. It talks like, hey, you follow a little bit, you obey a little bit, you do what we're saying, and your life will go really well here on earth. Well, you know, maybe, maybe not. The point is, when we actually get in the Bible and we get to see the God who loves us and who reconciled us to himself, now we realize that in Christ, we are cemented into an eternal future, one that cannot be taken for us, and honestly has the opportunity to put steel in the backbone of every single believer. This is why at Mercy Hill, I always try to preach two sermons in one. I try to get the most word we can, okay? It's why when we go to our groups, man, we take one passage and try to go all the way to the bottom in application. So that we're not just reading the Bible in isolation. Man, a lot of people around the world have done that and it goes to crazy places. The Bible is supposed to be done in community. That's why we do our groups the way that we do. That's why we encourage Bible reading plans at different points in the church's calendar. It's why I talk to you about family devotions. Man, 10-15 minutes, every single family, every single day, read the Bible, pray, maybe sing a song. I mean, that's it. I hear people say, like, man, well, nobody's ever taught me how to read the Bible. Hey, I'm teaching you every single week. Okay, what do? You open it up, man, you read it, you try to say, what did it mean in its original? And then you say, man, okay, this is what's all going on in my life. Spirit of God, illuminate this text to tell me what I should react to here. And where's the sin of my life? Right here. Man, that's what we do. We read the Bible. We need the Word of God. It's integral to our success. Oh my, we're gonna see this, y'all. It's integral to our courage. Look what it says in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, by my count, he's already done said this 3 or 4 different ways, 3 or 4 different times, right? He keeps telling him over and over, be strong, be courageous, be strong, be courageous. Now don't you understand? Did it strike anybody as odd that for 4 or 5 verses, the Bible, God pushes us back to reading his word, instead of telling Joshua, here's the plan, here's the tactics, this is how you do the battle. Now he will do some of that later on. But I thought it was interesting when I looked at this and I thought, man, you would think what God would be doing is, hey, get a pen and write down the plan for exactly how you guys are gonna do this. And instead what God says is, no, you go back and read through the law because that's gonna teach you who I am. I take from that this, when we face fear, the presence of God means more than a plan. Man, God with us means more than what are we going to do? We live in a scary world. We live in a scary time in a scary world, and we have a huge mission. And if the presence of God is the key that unlocks courage, grinds fear down so that what springs up is hope and courage, then what we need is to get to know God in his word. You know, I think about what God says here to Joshua, and maybe you guys picked up on this, but apparently, obviously, Joshua is about to be facing something pretty hard, right? I mean, you don't tell somebody, be strong and courageous a bunch of different times. I'll never leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll be with you a bunch of different ways if you're not going through something that's about to be pretty hard. And Joshua's about to walk through something pretty hard. I've never told my kids that unless they were going through something hard. They don't go to a friend's house that they've been to 10 times. And I'm like, be strong and courageous when you go, you know? We're never sitting around at night. And they're like, can we get some ice cream? And I'm like, okay, listen, when you cross over into the kitchen, only be strong and courageous, you know, when you possess the cookie dough or whatever. You know, you never do that. You tell a kid to be strong and courageous when they're facing live pitching for the first time. And the kid before them just got hit in the head. You know, that's when you tell them, hey, be strong. When they're about to go to the doctor and they're about to get a shot, you tell them, man, be strong and be courageous, right? There's some things that Joshua is about to walk through. Joshua is about to walk through war and leadership struggles and sin and sorrow and grief. And maybe the scariest of all, he's going to walk through extreme victory and prosperity. Many believers survive poverty. Some don't survive prosperity, right? What we see here is that Joshua is about to walk through all of this. God is preparing him. What is he saying? Be strong and courageous. Man, your mission I'm giving you is hard. Joshua, you're not going to make it if you don't know who I am. Me being with you isn't going to matter that much if you don't know me. But the mission you have is hard, and you're going to need to know me. Guys, this is where we walk across the bridge right now into today, okay? It's kind of hard. Thousands of years ago, okay, and then we all of a sudden walk across the bridge for today. But this is where we got to do it. You know why? Because the Church of Jesus Christ is on a very similar mission that Joshua and the people of Israel were on. And that's going to be hard for us. We're going to have to be very mature as we read this book, honestly, because that might be hard for us to kind of equate, man, what the mission that we're on. But the Bible does it a lot. We saw this in Revelation, the ties there. Jesus is the true and better Joshua. We see that we have a mission. Guys, like the people following Joshua, we have Jesus to follow into the Great Commission. We are called not to stand our ground, but to take ground. We're not called to survive. We're called to advance the mission. We are not a nation, but we are a people on the move in search of other people. We are trying to spread out throughout the whole earth. It's a spiritual mission that we are on. Now look what Jesus told us, the greater Joshua, in Matthew chapter 28. And he said, and Jesus came to them and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Guys, this call in Matthew 28, in a lot of ways, it is a repurposing of the call to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. I've taught you guys that before. Man, it is certainly a repurposing of sort of this call of creating a people. And I think about how we have to be mature in talking about this, because we absolutely do. What did Joshua do? Man, God promised them a land. There were already inhabitants in the land. And what did they have to go? They had to go destroy them. They had to go kick them out of the land. They had to kill a bunch of people. Man, they went and they destroyed the people that were in the land. And when they did, they destroyed their idolatries, their child sacrifice, their slaveries, the way that they treated women. They destroyed these things, and God had given them this land to go, to worship in, and to be what? To be a light to the nations. Man, to be a place where the nations could look in and see the worship of the one true God. Is that not the mission that we are on now? Jesus, the true and better Joshua, has given us a mission. We are not a nation. We're in the Church of Jesus Christ is spread through every nation. Man, we are not ones that are given this mandate from God to take a land and all that kind of stuff, but we certainly are on mission for people to create worshipers of every tribe, tongue, and nation, to go throughout the whole world spreading the news of the gospel from the workplace to the world, from our neighborhoods to the nations. We share the gospel here so that we can share it there. Man, we send missionaries over there and we do ministry right here. This is the call of the church. Now, here's my question, right? Where do we, Mercy Hill, get the courage not only just to make it through life, okay, in this crazy, you know, seasons that we're in with news cycles that are designed specifically to strike fear into every single heart. Deltacron is the new thing. Florona. I mean, you see this stuff and the way it's even portrayed. It's saying, hey, I'm not just saying it's serious. I'm saying that the news is saying you should be deathly, deathly, deathly afraid of everything and everybody. This is the society that we live in. How do we survive that without being afraid? How do we survive that and actually say, man, I'm not just going to stand my ground, but I'm actually going to advance in the mission as well? Guys, it's the exact same thing that we saw God tell Joshua. God's presence produces courage. Knowing that he is with us produces a life that can be on mission, even in a scary world. What did God say to Joshua? This is the crux of the whole thing. What did God say to Joshua in Joshua 1:5? I will be with you, and I will never forsake you. What did he say in Joshua 1:9? I'm with you wherever you go. What did Jesus Christ say to the church when he gave us our mission? Matthew 28, I am always with you. Church, this is it. If the promise of God being with Joshua is enough to build courage in the people that are going to follow Joshua, Okay, if that's enough to build courage in the people, just to follow this leader who mediates God's presence and God is with him, then what about us? What about the one who came as the greater Joshua and died for us and brings us into himself and produces a new family and gives us this mission? You know, what did God say to Joshua? He said, I will never forsake you. We serve a greater Joshua. Jesus was forsaken on the cross so that we would never be forsaken. He was forsaken for us so that now as Jesus looks at us and he says, I will be with you, there is a greater spiritual depth. There is a greater relationship. Man, we have the God who is indwelling us with his spirit. Man, who is at the drop of a hat. Man, he's with us in prayer. We have all of this access and tools, and it's deep, all given to us by the greater Joshua for a greater mission. So therefore, y'all, we should lean in. We should drink deeply, and we should take a heart in this today that God's presence can crush fear in our life. It absolutely can create courage. And that's where I want to land, all right? Be strong and courageous, for God is with you. Some of us need this now. If you don't need it right now, you're going to need it later at some point in your life, okay? I mean, it's just a fact. I've told you guys this before, man, in 2021, spring of 2021, I was at a retreat with some pastors, and man, we were just talking about how the last few months had been and the last year had been and all the things that we were leading through. And man, as I talked, I just realized like this cloud that was over me was fear. I mean, that's what the emotion was. It was, I was afraid. And I've told you this before, but man, I was afraid of failing. I was afraid of not leading well. I was afraid of you know, not being able to get, you know, lead us through and all, just all this stuff, okay? And one of the pastors that was there, Pastor Joby Martin, he looked right across the table. I mean, just locked eyes. And he said, brother, you need to remember that fear is a spirit. Man, I just began to weep. That's what the Word of God does. I mean, he didn't just come up with that, you know. You know, that's the Bible. I mean, it's the Word of God. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. It's a sword that just pierced right through my soul. Now, do I still struggle with fear? Absolutely. It's one of the biggest struggles of my life sometimes, all right? I've shared this with you guys before. Man, there's nothing like a phone call that says our youngest one is not feeling well. Man, a cloud can come over me and a heartbeat. Man, I struggle with this just like anybody else struggles with it. But where do we run when we're struggling? Man, do we just sit in fear or do we fight fear? Man, do we go back to what God has done and the promises that he has given us to never leave us, to never forsake us? We live in a scary world. I don't know what you might be dealing with today. Man, I think about the world. I think about wars, pandemics, financial upheaval. I've talked about the news cycle striking fear in everybody and all that. Man, I also just think about everyday life. Some of you might be like, man, you talk about these global things. Like, dude, I'm about to walk into a new school next week or something, you know? Or maybe you're thinking, man, I've got a new job, or there's an opportunity in front of me that I don't know. Do I take it? Do I not? And it's creating all this type of fear. Hey, some people, man, they face the fear of just being afraid. Man, you've lived with anxiety. You've lived with depression. You've lived with fear, and you're almost afraid of that. You're afraid that God healing an addiction in your life might kill you. You're like, man, I don't know if I could ever get away from this without the pain that it's going to go through with the light shining on it. I don't know what the fear in your life is, but I do know this. Hope in God's presence is the kryptonite. Hope in God's presence is that kryptonite for fear. I know some of you guys are leaders, and maybe there's going to be an opportunity this year. Maybe you're facing one right now. And you're like, man, I don't know if I can take that mantle of leadership. It scares me. Where do you run? We have brothers and sisters around the world right now. I was talking to one of the guys in our network of churches. This is not directly out of Mercy Hill, but just in our family kind of collaborative that we have with the Summit Church in Raleigh, Durham. And one of the guys that I've known personally, and man, they've been in a Central Asian country, very, very tough place to be for 15 years sharing the gospel. And man, they were wrestling with the people that were in this country because there's a lot of upheaval there and very pronounced on the news upheaval over the last few months in this particular place. And they had the opportunity to leave, and they're wrestling. They're believers, little house church. They're wrestling with, do we leave? We may be the only Christians in this whole place. They had their ticket. They called this missionary after he was already evacuated. And they said, brother, we decided to stay. You know, we decided to be here. We're the only light that is here in this place. Man, where do you get the steel in your backbone to be able to make a decision like that? Man, it's only going to be anchoring our hope in the presence of God, that because of what Christ has done, the greater Joshua, we're not this thing where we're looking going like, all right, Joshua's gonna lead us and we hope we can follow him. We hope we can follow all the rules. Y'all, you and I look back on a Jesus Christ who followed every law. There is no more condition. The battle's already won. What we do is we look back on it and we remember it. And we know that in our Christian relationship, man, in our faith, man, God is with us. He is with you. So as we close, listen, some of you might say today, hey, I don't feel courageous. And I understand that because, man, there's moments, maybe even weekly, where I don't feel courageous either. All right, but where do we run? Where do we go? Maybe there's some that are saying, man, how do I apply this today? Like maybe you're thinking to yourself, man, I fully understand and I can mentally assent and I can get there with the courage and what God is doing. He's preparing us for something and we gotta, and maybe you're like, man, I get that. And I'm gonna read the Bible and I'm gonna get to know God. But maybe some of you are like, man, I still don't exactly know how he's gonna remove this fear that I have in me. Well, one day it will be removed. We will have no burdens. And we look forward to that day. It will be gone if you're a believer. It's a promise that we have. If you're an unbeliever here today and you're thinking to yourself, man, okay, what's in this for me? Honestly, man, if you're not a believer and you're unwilling to come give your life to Christ, these promises are not for you. I don't know what you do with fear. Go read a 10-step self-help book or something else that probably won't work. But you could, I don't know what else to tell you. But if you're here and you're like, man, this sounds like a God I want to get to know, we would love to talk to you about that. Love to talk to you about the greater Joshua. You can come and talk to our prayer team after. But for some of us in here, and this is how we're going to close down our sermon this weekend. Man, the promise of God is true. Some of us don't feel it today, but maybe we're clinging to it. I've been there. I've been there where I'm like, man, I believe it, but the feelings aren't there, but I believe it. Well, today what I want to do is I want to say, God, we want the whole deal. We want the heat, not just the light. God, we want you to rain down your spirit on this place and remove the fear that is here and replace it with courage. But what it's gonna take, it's gonna take us being pretty honest with our life. It's gonna take us being pretty honest to name some things even in our own heart today, right? And that's how I'm gonna close our message. Here's what we're gonna pray for. We're gonna pray that fear would flee and that courage would come. And one great way that we can do this, man, and you do this in your prayer life. Listen, if your prayer life's feeling dry, so if you're right now and you're like, man, my prayer life's feeling dry, then get on your face when you pray tomorrow. Get on your knees. My point is, a physical posture will change things sometimes, okay? That's why we raise our hands in worship. And I mean, there's, you know, the Bible commands us, clap your hand, do all this stuff. It leads you sometimes. So here's what I'm gonna say. Listen, whenever we close our eyes, in just a minute, I'm gonna lead us. I'm gonna talk to us. I'm gonna kind of speak over you, name some things. Just a sort of a guided exercise to let the Spirit move. Hey, you may want to do this at some point. At some point while we're praying, you may want to stick your hands out and you may just want to go like this. Because you know what? Man, God can't fill your hands with courage if they're holding fear. But if you're willing to say, God, here, I don't want you to just take it, but I want you to rain something down right in it, you know? I'm going to release this fear that I have, but I want you to replace it with the courage that comes from the presence of God. Man, I'm praying this, not just for light, but for heat, that we would feel this. So if you would, across all of our locations, hey, some of you guys are at home this weekend, man, just at home, right in your living room, okay? Hey, let's bow our heads. Let's put our notes up. Man, all that stuff's over. Man, I'm just gonna lead you in a little bit of a time here. Guys, we can go to worship lighting. And man, as you just bow your head and close your eyes, if you are brand new at one of our locations this weekend and this is freaking you out, then just don't do it, okay? But if you're a believer, all I'm trying to do is create a little bit of quiet in our life so that we can do some business with God today. I'm not asking you for anything. We're not signing anything, not raising hands, not coming forward. It's just between you and the Lord today. Here's the deal. What is it that has struck fear in your heart? Will you wrestle with God? Will you do one of the most courageous things in all of the scripture and say to the Lord after King David, search me and know me? Is there a wicked way in me? Where's the fear? Man, is there fear of something that God is calling you to step into right now? Is there a fear of what comes from living with a God lens and living in God's plan for your life and what it means for your relationships? Maybe for middle school and high school, that means what's it going to mean to my peer group? Maybe it means a breakup. Maybe it means a relationship that's got to end. Is there fear of loss there that's keeping you from obedience? Is there a fear of something God's calling you to step into? Maybe some of our college students this weekend, God's calling you to step into a residency. He's calling you to jump in and give the first 2 years after graduation to a ministry somewhere or missions. Would you call it what it is? God, it's a fear. Is there fear maybe to open your life up to others after what we've been through the last 2 years? And is there fear to step into community and just don't want to do? And is there fear there? God, replace the fear with faith and courage and hope. God, I pray you do it right now. Maybe some of you are experiencing loss. Is there fear right now over a diagnosis? Is there fear that you can't control because maybe even at night the darkness begins to close in and you fear the actual anxiety that you know will come? Man, do you fear the loss of reputation over confessing sin that you know you need to? Is there a fear of a loss that is coming? Open your hands. God, all across our church and all across the triad, Father, we are opening our hands to you. We are confessing. We've allowed these things to control us. We've allowed these things to hang around our neck. We have not fought them with your presence. God, we're asking you to take them now. Lord, put steel in our backbone as we know where you are taking us and as your presence is felt in our life as we get to know you through your word. God, give us courage to face the uncertain times that we're in and to take our place in your mission. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.